Hi, this is the voice, Michael Schiavello. You're listening to the Premium Oddscast, hosted by leading MMA odds maker Nick Kalikas, fight scientist and author of Fightnomics, Reid Kuhn, and MMA journalist Brian Heminger. The absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAoddsbreaker.com.
Welcome to the Premium Oddscast, presented by Five Dime Sportsbook. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Wednesday's UFC Fight Night 91 event, which takes place in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Now, we'll be having a condensed version of our Premium Oddscast. Normally, we break down the entire fight card extensively with 10-minute breakdowns per fight combined, but because we just had three events for UFC International Fight Week, and we have a shorter time to prepare, we're going to try to give you a condensed version of each fight, and hopefully you guys kind of like that. So this will be a bit of a shorter Oddscast for you. Now, looking back at our last event, our premium bets for UFC 200 went 3-0 to profit 10.45 units overall. We won our underdog plays on Kelvin Gastelum, Brock Lesnar, and Juliana Pena, but we did lose our free bet, which was a one unit on the Jim Miller by submission prop because he ended up winning by TKO. Back to the present, UFC Fight Night 91 features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired on UFC Fight Pass and Fox Sports 1 this Wednesday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking off the preliminary card on Fight Pass, we have UFC newcomer Devin Clark, who is 6-0, taking on Alex Nicholson, who is 6-2. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Clark -245, the comeback on Nicholson +175. Right now, looking over at our sponsored sportsbook, fivedimes.eu. Make sure you guys check those guys out as always. It is Clark -230. The comeback on Nicholson is +190. So line margins have virtually tightened up a little bit. Two action coming in on this fight. Line seems to be holding steady. Should be an interesting fight. I mean, Clark making his UFC debut. Excited to see this guy come over because, I mean, he obviously had a little bit of hype coming in to the UFC. He was a former RFA light heavyweight champion, and the Access cards overall, RFA, Legacy, all those events have been producing a lot of quality competitors that have been making it over the UFC. So Clark's just another one of those guys that's making his way over, and he should have a decent impact, especially now since he's dropping down to middleweight for the first time. I think that it's really going to help him as well. So basically, quick background on Clark. He has a college wrestling background. He's got a boxing background. And basically what you see from him, he's an athletic, powerful, explosive fighter. Still a bit raw overall. I mean, he does have a tendency to make some mistakes here and there. So defensively, he needs to get a little bit more sound. But he has the ability to finish the fight on the feet, on the ground, and he's got a little bit of submission game. So he's a well-rounded fighter. And his fight against Nicholson was one of these guys. He made his UFC debut, obviously. He lost to Sirkunov. He was pretty game early on, a little bit in that fight, because, I mean, his striking is his best attribute as well. He's athletic and long. He's dropping to 185 again, so he's going to be pretty big for the weight class for sure. And Nicholson is definitely an interesting, unorthodox type of fighter that's hard to deal with and adapt to. But I think it's going to be a tough fight for Clark, but what I think it comes down to, I think Clark can get top position if it goes to the ground. I think Clark's just a little bit more steady overall. I trust him a little bit more, and although it's going to be kind of tricky with Nicholson's length and his ability, especially in the clinch, Nicholson can be very dangerous. I still think Clark's just a little bit ahead of him right now. So I am going to pick Clark to win this fight, maybe on the cards, but I could see Clark finishing him along the way as well.
Alex Nicholson was one of those fighters that took a fight on short notice out of his weight class to get it out of the way, make the UFC debut. I'm sure he wasn't exactly expecting to beat Sirkunov, and probably smartly proposed to his fiance at the weigh-ins before the fight took place, because then he broke his jaw during the fight off of that nasty chin lock that Sirkunov put him on, kind of the neck crank. So, but he's all healed up and he's ready to go for this event. Now, Devin Clark, making his UFC debut, he is undefeated, and he's actually from Sioux Falls, so he'll have a bit of a home field advantage. And overall, I think Devin Clark is the more well-rounded fighter. He mixes things up with the grappling, with the wrestling, with top control, and on the feet. He's a pretty good athlete. Nicholson will have the advantage in height and reach. So on the feet, if this is a pure stand-up contest, I think Nicholson will be competitive and maybe win it. But if Clark can mix things up, put Nicholson on his back,
then he's definitely in a really good position. So the fact that Clark can mix it up, and as long as he doesn't have UFC jitters, I think Devin Clark does use that well-roundedness in his game and puts Nicholson down and can at least win a decision there. So my pick is going to be Devin Clark. Now dropping down to the bantamweight division, we have Ronnie Yahya, who is 21-8 with one no contest, taking on Matthew Lopez, who is 8-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Yahya, minus 155. The comeback on Lopez, plus 115. Right now, looking over five dimes, it's Lopez minus 130. The comeback on Yahya is plus 120. So line has flipped a little bit. Instead of being a slight favorite for Yahya, obviously that Lopez is a slight favorite. And I do agree with the movement here. I know it's crazy. And I honestly figured more people would be supporting Yahya making against a debuting fighter like Lopez. But I think people did their homework a little bit and realized that Lopez is a very impressive guy making his debut. I mean, the guy is an RFA regional star again. He's got a wrestling background as well. He also has a lot of power on the feet. He's just a powerful, aggressive, well-rounded fighter overall. I know he's a little bit raw and doesn't have the experience Yahya has, but the guy has a lot to offer. And I think the problem Yahya is going to have in this fight is we all know what he does best. It's his ground game. Yahya is a heck of an underrated wrestler. I mean, and grappler, obviously, but he gets the job done by submission more times than not. And he's tough to beat by decision because of his scrambling ability and getting top position, all that. But on the feet, Yahya does have a problem. He's getting a little bit better. He's getting a little bit more powerful. You can't underestimate him completely, but he will get outstruck by most. Lopez has the wrestling to keep it upright. Lopez has the striking to make life miserable for Yahya on the feet as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Lopez actually knocks Yahya out along the way. If not, I think Lopez will at least decision him because I think Lopez could possibly get top position on the ground and kind of maintain it without getting sub as well. So I'm a little disappointed that people were pretty wise to Lopez coming, you know, having a shot in this fight because I do as well think that he does. And I'm going to pick him to win this, this play. Hopefully we see the line get a little bit better and Yahya starts taking some action because I think Lopez, the near pick 'em price is still near this price might be the way to go as far as a pure bet goes. So I'm going to pick him to win.
The main thing here is you're never quite sure which version of Ronnie Yahya is going to show up. Sometimes he's very aggressive with his offensive grappling and he turns into the human backpack because he is very good at taking his opponents back. And then he's able to either pick up a submission or at least outgrapple his opponents and win a decision. And other times he's tentative. He sticks around too long on the feet and then gets beat up. So I'm thinking that maybe this time around it's going to be Matthew Lopez's night. I mean, Lopez was the wrestling coach at Reign MMA, very talented grappler. So he should be able to at least hold his own with Yahya on the ground, maybe not win those exchanges, but I can see him at least escaping bad spots and then getting back to the feet. And then on the feet, Lopez is a powerful little southpaw with some good pop in his hands. And he should definitely be getting the better of Yahya in the stand-up exchanges. So as long as Lopez can avoid letting Yahya take his back and put him in bad spots, then he should be winning everywhere else in this fight, whether it's the clinch, whether it's distance, whether it's in the pocket. This should be Lopez's fight. So I'm siding with the UFC newcomer Matthew Lopez. Now moving on to the Fox Sports 1 prelims, we have a lightweight contest between Scott Holtzman, who is 8-1, and Cody Pfister, who is 12-5-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Holtzman, minus 280 to come back on Pfister, plus 200. Right now, it is Holtzman minus 320. We'll take it back. Reduced Juice just came out, so it is minus 300 for Holtzman. The comeback on Pfister is plus 270 at five dimes. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. There is more action coming in Holtzman's way. I'm not really surprised by that. I mean, Holtzman is definitely the more respected, more popular fighter of the two. But realistically, if you take that out of the equation, these guys match up relatively well. They're both very similar fighters. Both these guys have a little bit of striking, obviously. They both like to get the fight to the floor and grind out their opponents. They both have a sub game to go along with it, too. So they're both well-rounded fighters. I think what it's going to come down to, I think Holtzman's a little bit faster. I think he's a little bit more dangerous on the feet. I mean, I know Pfister, his stand-up game is probably a little bit underrated to go along with his grappling game as well. Just overall he is. But I think Holtzman's just a little bit more I guess his fight IQ is a little bit better at this point. Pfister does some stupid things along the way. Even if he's winning a fight, obviously he get caught. He's been submitted four times. So he does get in those spots where you don't want to really see him get into. But if this fight if nobody really makes that obvious mistake and lets somebody have their back or something like that, I think it is going to be a very competitive fight and it hits the scorecards. We could see it realistically go either way, but on the cards, I still favor Holtzman a little bit. I think again, he's going to be a little bit busier throughout the fight. I think he's going to be able to stay off his back. I think he's just going to, that speed factor is going to come in against Pfister as well. And then I think that there is a possibility that Holtzman could catch something with Pfister making that kind of, again, bad fight IQ come to life here in this fight. So I think that I do give the slight lean towards Holtzman, but it's definitely a dog or pass situation here because Pfister matches up so well. I think people are overall are disrespecting Pfister at this price. So dog or pass, but I am going to pick Holtzman to win the fight.
Scott Holtzman entered the UFC with a bit of a wave of hype, and then he basically put that fire out himself in his UFC debut. Even though he picked up a finish victory, it took him three rounds to submit Anthony Christodoulou, a guy that he should have been able to put away quickly. He only got one takedown that whole fight. Like, it just was not a very impressive performance. And then in his next fight, his most recent one, he got out-grappled by Drew Dober, a guy that is not known for his ground game. So I just have not been impressed by Scott Holtzman's ground game. I have not been impressed by his offensive wrestling attack, and I really haven't been impressed by his stand-up. So I think people are seriously overvaluing him here. And yes, Cody Pfister has made some dumb mistakes. His submission defense is not great. Obviously, you saw what happened in the Sage Northcutt fight where he was getting takedowns. He was winning, and then he just launched a takedown and left his neck exposed right into a guillotine choke and had to tap out. So what I think happens here, though, is Pfister has the reach advantage on the feet. He actually does have some boxing experience. I think Pfister outstrikes him on the feet. And if it does go to the ground, yes, there is the potential for a submission from Holtzman, but I see Pfister winning scrambles and getting top position. So I think this is Cody Pfister's fight to lose. As long as he doesn't do something stupid, leave himself exposed and give up a submission kind of like Gerard Sanders did in his last fight against Felipe Arantes, fight where you just use your wrestling. Don't make a mistake. Don't give them space. I think this is Cody Pfister's fight. I think he pulls this one off as the underdog. So my pick is going to be Cody Pfister. Now dropping down to the women's strawweight division, we have Courtney Casey, who is 4-3, taking on Christina Stanziu, who is 5-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA odds maker's perspective on this one?
Up in Stanziu, minus 175, the comeback on Casey, plus 135. Right now it's Stanziu, minus 150, the comeback on Casey is plus 140. So again, line margins have tightened up a little bit. This is a tough fight. This is the battle of the cardio, in my opinion here, the bad cardio, because both these ladies, I mean, typically a lot of the women can bring it. They go three strong rounds, and these ladies have the heart to do it as well, but they do slow down significantly as the fight goes. So I think that's what's going to come into play here. It's going to be the fresher fighter that probably ends up winning this fight and pulling away late. I'm going to lean a little bit more towards Stanziu. I know Casey is going to be the bigger fighter here a little bit as far as actually reach alone is. I mean, height's going to be relatively close, but she's going to have like 3 inches of pure reach. And Casey in round one is a force. She's hard to deal with. I mean, she's technical. She definitely has good stand up and she knows how to use it. She has a little bit of power behind it, but Stanziu is a beast in her own right, I think as well. So it is going to be interesting. I think Casey will do better maybe in the first round, but I think Stanziu is going to be able to push the pace a little bit more and she could get Casey in some trouble as the fight progresses a little bit. But again, not a very confident pick here, but I am going to pick Stanziu to win this fight. I just trust her a little bit more, and I think her aggression is going to probably sway the judges at least as well. I think that probably still hits the scorecards despite their bad cardio issues because I think both of them are tough enough to kind of survive each other as well. Both of them can finish fights. There's no doubt about that, but I still think they kind of neutralize each other out overall, and I think Stanziu edges this fight out. Very, very narrow decision on the scorecard, so I'm going to pick her to win.
Yeah, neither of these girls has picked up a win inside the octagon, but Courtney Casey's had two tries, and Stanziu only had one, and she was facing a top 10 opponent. So I think what's going to happen here is both girls are very strong early in the fight, especially Casey, actually. She rocked Seohi Ham. She rocked Joanne Calderwood in her fights, but then after she wasn't able to put them away, she ended up losing. So what's going to happen here? Stanziu has a pretty good chin. She has, I think, just as good, if not better, striking technique, especially if Courtney Casey's striking technique really, it's not that good. It just more relies on her being fresh. And the second that she starts to get tired, her striking technique becomes terrible and she isn't able to land hardly anything. And I think Stangio's technique, since it is a little bit more refined, then it's going to be able to last a little longer. The other thing that I like about Stangio is she's only 22 years old. I mean, she got tossed into the fire very early in her career, and she has a lot of room for growth. So when both of these girls have gut check time, I think Stangio's going to have a little bit more left in the tank. I think Stangio is going to be able to push a little bit of a higher pace. And I think Stangio's ground game, well, it's not amazing. I think as long as she avoids Casey's armbar, which I think is only going to be that dangerous maybe in the first round and a half, then I see Stangio winning this fight. I think she can outpoint Casey on the feet and maybe even put her away because she does pack some good power. A lot of her submissions have been set up by her rocking her opponents on the feet. So my pick is going to be Christina Stangio as well. Now moving up to the middleweight division, we have Eric Spicely, who is 8-0, taking on Sam Alvey, who is 25-8 with one no contest. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Alvey, minus 245, the comeback on Spicely, plus 175. Right now, Five Dimes Reduced has minus 250 for Alvey, and Spicely is at plus 230. Tough fight. I mean, two-way action coming into this fight as well overall. And I'm saying tough fight because Spicely is definitely a really slick grappling-based fighter. He's got good technique. He attacks with subs aggressively. So if he gets his fight to the ground, I mean, Alvey could be in some serious trouble. I mean, Alvey has pretty good takedown defense, and his sub-awareness overall is pretely decent as well. But Spicely is the type of guy that he gets your back. It's pretty much a wrap. I mean, he's that good at finishing fights. So Spicely desperately has to get this fight to the ground. And I think Alvey, his takedown defense is not going to let that happen. I think Alvey obviously is the better striker here. He's got that underrated power. I mean, it's amazing how much pure power or accuracy that Alvey does have at times when he is getting the knockout win, which has happened frequently throughout his career. So I think here what you're going to see is a very motivated, hungry Alvey. He wants to prove that he can do better than what he did against in his last fight against Teodoro. Obviously, Spicely is going to want to prove that he can do better than he did recently in the Ultimate Fighter as well. But what it comes down to is styles make fights, and I think Alvey sprawls and brawls his way into a win, probably a finish as it goes. But if not, I think Alvey should at least, even though he's got issues at times being aggressive, I think he should still at least kind of be not as, and I don't want to say intimidated, but not as gun-shy in this fight is probably the better word against Spicely. I think he will be pushing forward and be a little bit more aggressive, so I think it's going to win him the fight. So I am going to pick Alvey to win.
Yeah, this is a quick turnaround for Sam Alvey, who just fought Elias Theodoro in the past month, but I think he wants to wash the bad taste of that fight out of his mouth. He just could not pull the trigger in that fight. He had a big power advantage, and he just let Theodoro pitter-patter his way to outpointing him. And against Eric Spicely, Alvey does not have nearly as much to worry about on the feet. Obviously, the ground is a big difference. Spicely has a decent wrestling attack, but a very, very good Brazilian jiu-jitsu game. I know he's just a brown belt, but he's very crafty, and he can definitely throw out some awkward submissions that are difficult to deal with. I mean, the guys on The Ultimate Fighter had a lot of trouble with him on the once that fight hit the floor. So if Sam Alvey lets this fight hit the floor, Spicely definitely has a shot. But I don't think he does. I think Sam Alvey is going to fight with a wrestling in reverse and then just look for that knockout shot. You saw Spicely is susceptible to that on the show. And if Alvey is able to keep this fight standing, there at some point in the three rounds, he's going to knock him out. And even though he's had his issues with pulling the trigger in the past, especially recently, I think Alvey can also win a decision if he doesn't get that knockout blow. So I'm siding with Sam Alvey. Now moving on to the main event of the undercard, we have a women's bantamweight contest between Lauren Murphy, who is 9-2, and Caitlin Chookagian, who is 7-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA odds maker's perspective on this one?
I put Murphy minus 260, the comeback on Chookagian plus 180, and there has been action on the dog. It is now Murphy minus 185, Chookagian is plus 170. So actually, if you're looking at it, it's only a 10-cent drop at the dog price from the opener from plus 180 to plus 170, but line margins have tightened in. tightened up a little bit, and there is more action coming in on Chookhagan. So the public out there overall thinks that she's going to pull off the upset win over Murphy. I disagree with that. I know Chookhagan is very good. I mean, check out our friends over at Rear Naked Choke Radio. Those guys, actually, Chookhagan is a guest host from them from time to time as well, and they know her very well, and they were really saying a lot of good things about Chookhagan. I mean, she's a very well-rounded fighter. She's kind of long range. She has grappling skills along with it, clean technical on the feet and on the ground, mixes things up well. So she is a well-put-together fighter. The problem is she is only coming into this fight to make her UFC debut. She should be fighting at 125. So the UFC not having the flyweight division really ready yet for her to come into, I think 135 is going to be tough for her because she's going to have to face fighters like Murphy. Murphy is getting underrated a little bit here, and it's a tough fight for Chookhagan to make her debut against a fighter like Murphy. Murphy, obviously, on the feet, she just one of those fighters that pushes forward, has a little bit of knockout power to go along with it. She's a tough, aggressive fighter. She's relentless. She likes to push the pace of the fight, get you up against the cage, get some takedowns, kind of work from your guard, and she has good sub defense. I mean, Murphy, again, is a well-rounded fighter. She might not be as flashy or as technical as Chookhagan overall, but I think her grinding style and her strength is going to come into play and probably make the most difference here. So I do think the overall action coming in early on Chookhagan is probably off a little bit. I think they're underestimating Murphy, and I think Murphy's probably going to grind out Chookhagan and get another win on the scorecards. Might be 29-28, might be 30-27, but I think it's going to be a grinding type of decision for Murphy, so I'm going to pick her to win.
Yeah, this fight is all about whether or not Chookhagan can keep her distance. Lauren Murphy is very physically strong, possibly the strongest woman in the division, and Chookhagan is a fighter that can make the 125 weight class if she really wanted to, if the UFC was consistently promoting that division. So basically, if Murphy can get her hands on her, can put her on her back, can put her against the fence, then it's all Murphy. But as you saw in Murphy's last fight, sometimes she is a little bit of a slow starter. She kind of had to get beat up a little bit in that first round against Kelly Fasholtz before she finally started to turn it on. I mean, she didn't get a takedown until the second round, or really the third round, and then she just stayed in top position and then just beat the hell out of her and got a TKO. So I think Murphy needs to be a little bit more aggressive. She can't be as patient this time around. This is an opponent that is a very solid striker with good jab, good kicks, decent kickboxing background. And on the ground, Chookhagan is very aggressive with submissions, but I think that that's actually to her disadvantage because she's the type that'll drop back for a guillotine choke or fall to her back looking for an armbar. And I do not see Lauren Murphy getting submitted. So all I would see is Chookhagan giving up a position and then getting the tar beat out of her from top position with Murphy just wailing away. So realistically, the best path to victory for Chookhagan is to keep her distance and make this a stand-up war, because Murphy can get suckered into those a little bit because she has a very good chin and she does push forward aggressively, even though she's not the most technical striker. So if Murphy does take her down, though, I think it's all pretty much over at that point. She will either stay in top position for the rest of the round or she will potentially get a TKO. So my pick is going to be Lauren Murphy as long as she is able to get her hands on Chookhagan. Now, kicking off the Fox Sports 1 main card, we have a flyweight bout between Louis Smolka, who is 10-1, and Ben Wen, who is 15-5. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Smolka -140, Wen even money, and the line has flipped. Right now, looking over at Five Dimes, it is -120 for Wen, Smolka is +110. Not surprised that it flipped. I mean, this is one of those fights that I could see flipping back and forth for a while. But I am surprised, I guess, overall. I mean, not more people backing Smolka a little bit, because I think obviously he is the more popular fighter. Smolka's been in there in the cage already throughout his career with a lot of decent fighters, and he's kind of climbing his ranks up to getting a potential title shot if he keeps the momentum going here for him. Smolka at flyweight, that is. So he's a tough guy to deal with because on the feet, he's not bad. He's got that length. He obviously on the ground, I think, is his best attribute. He's a really slick, smooth grappler, and he's got that length that makes it even more difficult to defend against there on the ground as well. So Smolka is a very game fighter, and he is a handful to deal with anybody that's going to face him, really. He's definitely a tough out. But Wynn, on the other hand, I think has showed a lot of improvements throughout his career, especially since he's entered the UFC. The guy's an explosive, talented fighter, has a tremendous amount of knockout ability. I think he's got a decent amount of takedown defense that he should be able to keep this fight upright and utilize his strength, which is, again, that knockout power and his ability to just be accurate and just basically end fights with one type of punch. That's a guy, the type of guy Wynn is. I mean, just one punch knockout power. And obviously he's got the killer instinct. I mean, if that one punch doesn't do it, he's going to follow up and just end it anyway. So tough fight as it goes. I mean, Smoka might find an opportunity or two, especially if it hits the ground. I mean, that's where he's going to have the biggest advantage. But I think Wynn is going to be game enough to keep this fight upright. And early on, man, Wynn is going to be bringing it. And I think Smoka obviously has been hit. He has been damaged in the past. And Wynn lands like Smoke has been hit before, I think Wynn's going to probably get the job done with that killer instinct and get him out of there. So I do believe Wynn probably wins this fight. So where the current action is right now or where the line is right now, I think is a little bit more accurate, because Wynn is one of those guys that you got to look beyond his resume. It might not look that great. I mean, the guy's been knocked out four times throughout his career, but I think that doesn't really tell enough of the story here with Wynn. I think he is better than that. His chin's even a little bit better than that as well, even though you got to keep that in the back of your mind for sure. But I do think Wynn's improvement across the board will get the job done here against Smoka, and it'll be a big win for him. So I'm going to pick Wynn to pull off what was kind of an upset, or in at least the normal public thinking, somewhat of an upset as well. The bettors right now, it's not, but I'm going to pick Wynn to win the fight over Smoka.
Yeah, the main thing here is whether or not Smolka can utilize his well-roundedness. Now, I know Ben Wynn has a decent ground game, and he is well-rounded as well, but Smolka is very dynamic on the canvas. You saw that in his last couple fights where he wasn't able to get a lot going on the feet, especially the Neil Siri fight, but the second the fight hit the floor, he took complete control. So I think Ben Wynn is going to want to keep this fight standing as long as possible, because Smolka, while his stand-up is not bad, I mean, he actually does have decent combinations, some good kicks. He's picked up some pretty highlight reel finishes throughout his UFC run here, but he is vulnerable on the feet. His chin is not great, and he's hittable. And Ben Wynn is a very accurate, very compact, very solid technical striker. So if Wynn can keep this fight standing, I can see him cleaning Smolka's clock at some point. He just has to be careful about following him to the ground even, because that's what happened in the Neil Siri fight. Siri repeatedly was blasting Smolka on the feet, and then he would dive into his guard and get swept and then spend the rest of the round on his back. That is the last thing Wynn wants to do. So I do think Wynn has a better ground game than Siri, so maybe he can afford to be a little more aggressive there. But that being said, the less time you spend on the ground with Smolka, the better. Now, if Smolka gets the takedowns, if he's aggressive and is able to pick one up, while Wynn does have a good offensive game, we haven't seen a lot of his defensive ground game. So I am a little concerned about that. He did showcase a bit of takedown defense so far in his UFC career. But for the most part, I do think that Wynn just wants to sprawl and brawl and then get right back to the feet and then just get back to finding a home on Smolka's chin. Because as mentioned multiple times, that is the weakness of Smolka. And I think that that's something that Wynn can take advantage of. So that's why I'm picking him. Now moving up to the welterweight division, we have Kyle Noak, who is 22-8-1, taking on Keita Nakamura, who is 31-7-2 with one no contest. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Noak, -260, the comeback on Nakamura, +180. Right now, it is Noak, -160 with reduced juice, and the comeback on Nakamura is +150. So a +180 drop on the dog to a +150 drop. And it is real. I mean, a lot of people are coming in on Nakamura for sure in this spot against Noak, and it's mainly, obviously, because of his ground game. I mean, the guy is capable, even though he doesn't have the best wrestling overall, I mean, he's capable of getting the fight to the floor. I mean, he's got that unorthodox, unique grappling style about him. I think once he gets top position, he could be effective a little bit. Obviously, his ground game, as far as submissions go, or his specialty, I mean, Nakamura is a beast on the ground. Now, standing up, I mean, even though Nakamura is only 32 years old, he's been through a lot of worse throughout his career, a lot of tough battles. So I think the mileage on him is a lot more than 32 years old. So MMA years, he is above and beyond that. He's been surviving thus far in the UFC. You got to give him a lot of credit. But I think a guy like Noak on the feet can end his night relatively quickly. So Noak's going to want to keep this fight standing because he's going to have a significant advantage on the feet. Obviously, the wrestling should be interesting here because Noak at times has decent wrestling in his own right, but he hasn't been put on his back. So if Nakamura gets top position, obviously Noak is going to be in some trouble here. And that's, I think, why the people are coming in towards Nakamura a little bit, because Noak has been kind of controlled and wrestled at spots as well. And then he's had a couple of submission losses. So on the ground, I do give the advantage to Nakamura, but I think Noak is going to be prepared enough to kind of neutralize the takedowns attempts from Nakamura. And on the feet, I think Noak is definitely going to be landing a lot more frequently. And I'm not sure Nakamura is going to be able to take what he's got to offer. So mentioning real quick back to the MMA years, obviously Noak's had a ton of mileage on his record as well. So at this point in their careers, you can't really trust either guy to not looking really bad. I mean, showing up and just hitting that decline spot looking bad. So I'm not ultra confident in Noak either, but I am going to pick him to win because I do see a path for him to win this fight, which is basically sprawl brawl and knock him out. And I think that's probably what happens.
Yeah, I was disappointed in Kyle Noak in his last fight. Even though I thought he should have won against Murano, it was still a fight where he was a little tentative and he kind of gave his opponent an opportunity to potentially steal the fight. Now this time around against Nakamura, realistically, there is one way for Nakamura to win, and that is to shoot in for takedowns, put his opponent on his back and keep him there, and then work for submissions. Nakamura is not a threat on the feet. Nakamura's chin is not very good, as evidenced by, you know, Ying Jing Long nearly putting him out badly in their fight. So Noak has showcased a bit of pop on the feet. So if he connects solidly with Nakamura, I can definitely see him put him out. Noak does have a good ground game, but his defensive wrestling does leave something to be desired. You saw it in the Patrick Cote fight where, you know, Cote, not being the best wrestler in the world, was still able to put him on his back and keep him there and win a decision. So if Nakamura is able to implement the Patrick Cote attack, then I can see him potentially pulling off this upset. But that being said, Nakamura's chin is not very good. He does not present a lot of threats anywhere but the wrestling. I'm not sure that he'll be active enough to keep Noak down. And I can see Noak either forcing stand-ups or getting back to his feet and then trying to work him over with strikes. So I'm going to side with Kyle Noak, but just be careful with this one because of Nakamura's wrestling advantage. Now moving all the way up to the heavyweight division, we have Alexei Oleinik, who is 59-1, taking on Daniel Omelianchuk, who is 18-5-1 with one no contest. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Olenek, minus 190, the comeback on Omelianchuk, plus 150. And right now it is Olenek, minus 192. The comeback on Omelianchuk is plus 177. So virtually staying ballpark to where I opened it, obviously, as well. Two-way action is coming in on this fight. Tough one, because Olenek has a huge edge in his fight, and it's on the ground. And Omelianchuk has been getting beat on the ground. I mean, he's been getting basically grinded out. When he does lose in the UFC, it's been because he's spending too much time on his back. Not sure that's going to be the case here, though, because if Olenek gets him on his back, Olenek is probably going to finish him relatively quick, because Olenek is a very smooth on the ground as far as offensive submissions go, with his neck cranks, with his just submission game in general. I mean, he's that smooth and slick. That's why he's got 40 wins, I believe, on his resume by sub. I mean, you can't survive too long on the ground with this guy. But on the feet, that's a whole other story. I mean, he has been knocked out a few times throughout his career, and Omelianchuk is going to have, I think, the pure striking advantage. Now, Olenek does have a little bit of reach on him. I think he's got 6 inches of pure reach, and he's getting – I mean, he's got that old man strength basically right now, because he's 39 years old. So he does have that crazy power that if he does land a fist, he can definitely do some damage along the way. But Omelianchuk should definitely have the striking advantage in this fight. And Olenek, I think he's got to get him grounded pretty quick to get the job done here. If it plays out and goes in round two, round three, in deeper waters, I think Omelianchuk probably does get the job done. I've been honestly, as far as a pick, going back and forth on this fight. It's tough because I could see both guys coming out on top here. I think the line is actually a little bit too high. I know I opened it that high, but again, it was kind of more for the public, I figured, would like Olenek, and it seems like it's holding steady because of that as well. So it's kind of staying where I thought it might. But overall, I think this fight should definitely be closer to a pick 'em with a slight lean towards Olenek. So it is a dog or pass situation here. As far as pure pick goes, though, I still favor maybe Olenek a little bit because, I mean, Omelichuk, if he cannot keep the fight upright, he's probably going to lose on the ground again. So I am going to pick Olenek to win, but it is a dog or pass situation because I could see Omelichuk knocking him out or possibly even if it does somehow, some way by miracle hit the scorecards. I doubt it does, obviously, but I mean, if it does hit the scorecards, I can see Omelichuk possibly winning that way too. So tough one, but I'm going to pick Olenek.
And I just am having a little bit of trouble trusting Olenek here. I mean, the guy is 39 years old. He's coming off of multiple knee injuries, which have kept him out for over a year and a half. And he's facing somebody with some really good pop in their hands in Omelichuk. Now, both guys have their issues. Omelichuk tested positive for a banned substance, but it was still in the borderline territory where the substance had just been banned and it could have still been in a system from before it was banned. So he got a kind of a get out of jail free card. So he's entering this fight with some controversy. Olenek's rusty and old and coming off of rehabbing multiple knee surgeries. So that is a huge question mark. And realistically, if Olenek puts Omelichuk down on the ground, he'll win. Omelichuk was put down on his keister by Jared Rosholt and lost a decision. He was taken down by Anthony Hamilton and lost a decision. So if Olenek puts him down, he's either going to win a decision or submit him. My problem is Olenek's chin is not very good. I mean, Jared Rosholt rocked him. I mean, yeah, Olenek was able to come back and knock Rosholt out, but that's because Rosholt doesn't have much punching power. He smelled blood after hurting him and then let his guard completely down and was just swinging wildly and got caught. Omelichuk's not going to do that. Omelichuk has absolutely nasty left hand. He has a really good left head kick. He is a good striker, even though he's giving up a lot of size to pretty much everybody he faces in the division. So if Omelichuk can keep this fight in the center of the cage, can avoid clinches, can avoid being put on his back, I see Omelichuk knocking Olenek out. He's going to hit a lot harder than Jared Rosholt, and I see this fight ending more like Olenek's fight against Neil Goliath Grove in Bellator than, say, against his fight like against Mirko Krokop. So I just cannot trust the 39-year-old, cage-rusted, multiple knee injury fighter here. So I'm siding with Daniel Omelichuk. I think he wins by knockout in the first round. Now dropping down to the middleweight division, we have Tim Boach, who is 18-10, taking on Josh Saman, who is 12-4. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up at Saman, -215, the comeback on Boach, +165. Staying about ballpark right now, Saman, -210, the comeback is +190. So again, line margins have tightened up a little bit. I think a lot of split opinions out there on this fight as well. To me, I mean, Boach in his prime could definitely go out there and get the W over Saman, in my opinion. I mean, the guy was definitely a tough guy in a lot of areas. I mean, physically, he's got decent wrestling. He's got powerful striking on the feet. I mean, he doesn't have that crazy technical skill that could, you know, submit you. If he gets to the ground, it's a surefire sub or even on the feet. I mean, he's definitely going to knock you out, but he built up slowly those wins and those stoppages, those finishes because of his hard work and just basically outgrinding people along the way. So Boach is a tough, tough out, but I do see a decline spot and it's hit him. I mean, and Saman in this spot is the younger fighter. I think he's got overall more technical skill. The strength issue that, or the strength advantage that Boach has over most people might not be as much of an issue in this spot here because Saman is a very athletic, powerful guy in his own right as well. So he's going to have some reach in this fight over Boach. I think he's going to be a handful for Boach to deal with as far as his unorthodox striking game. I mean, Saman does like to throw a lot of kicks. I think he's going to have success with those kicks against Boach. And I think if this fight hits the floor, Saman does have the advantage there as well. Now, he needs to stay off his back because Boach might get top position. And if that's the case, that might be Boach's best way to win his fight, to be honest with you, is trying to look for takedowns and kind of grind Saman out and look for a win on the scorecards or a late finish there. But I think along the way, Saman ends up catching Boach. I mean, if you look at his resume close recently, you could tell the decline is definitely there. And Saman is kind of one of those fighters, even though he had a little setback recently, he's on the rise where Boach is basically kind of on the way out the door. Now, I do have a ton of respect for Boach, not trying to disrespect him. But at the same time, I think that's what it is. It's clear as day here. Saman should get the job done here. I do believe that he is the better fighter right now. He has more ways to win his fight, and he probably does get it done. So I'm picking Saman to win.
Realistically, if you look at Tim Boach's last 8 fights, he has not looked good in any of them. Even the wins, where he squeaked by a decision against CB Dolloway that he probably didn't deserve, and then kind of caught Brad Tavares with a jab and knocked him out in a fight that he was on his way to losing. You know, Tim Boach is just not very competitive right now with the good fighters in the middleweight division. And then moving up his last fight against Ed Herman, got caught again. And, you know, he was a guy that kind of relied on his toughness and strength and aggression and power. And the toughness is just not there anymore. His chin is not very good at this point. So I think Josh Saman can catch him with a big kick and put him out. And on the ground, Boach does have pretty good wrestling still, but Saman does have a solid ground game and a good submission skill set, and Boach has been caught with multiple submissions throughout his MMA career. So I just don't see a great path to victory here for Tim Boach as he continues to age and add more wear and tear to his body and slow down, and his chin is getting worse and worse. So I definitely see a path to victory for Saman as long as he can avoid getting put on his back for 3 straight rounds, which is a minor possibility, but I'm not quite convinced that Boach's cardio will hold up for those 3 rounds if he is forced to wrestle. So my pick's going to be Josh Saman. I think that he catches Boach at some point with a knockout or a submission. Now moving on to the co-main event of the evening, we have Tony Ferguson in the lightweight contest, who is 21-3, taking on Lando Vannetta, who is 8-0. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Ferguson, -535, the comeback on Vannetta, +355. That -535 was not enough. It is currently -705 for Ferguson. Vannetta is +570. So action did not hesitate to come in Ferguson's way in this spot here. I understand it, though, in some ways. I mean, Ferguson is a beast. I mean, right now, the way the UFC lightweight division is with new champ Eddie Alvarez. Alvarez, man, by the way, tremendous victory for him, and he deserves to be wearing that gold. I mean, I'm happy for him. He wanted that strap throughout his career, worked hard enough for it. He finally got it. So much respect, and Alvarez is going to be a tough out. He's going to want to hold on that belt for a long time. But it's a fighter like Ferguson that I think if he gets the shot could definitely cause some problems and maybe even dethrone Alvarez. So you could be looking at the future champion at 155 right now in Ferguson. That's what kind of skill set the guy has, what kind of finishing ability the guy has. I mean, he doesn't have the cardio issues a lot of fighters have. Ferguson's a well put together fighter. I mean, does some IQ stuff once in a while that you kind of scratch your head. I mean, if you look back at the Castillo fight, for example, that was one of those fights that weren't so great for him. So he has those moments. And he's got to be careful here against Vannetta, actually, since I'm bringing up the Castillo fight, because Vannetta is a very capable wrestler in his own right. I mean, he has taken this fight on short notice. He's got that short notice debut coming in for Chiesa in this spot here. A lot of people are looking forward to Chiesa Ferguson, but Vannetta's not going to be a bad replacement. I know a lot of people might not know much about him. He's got a BJJ and wrestling background. He's training at Greg Jackson's camp, so you know he's training with decent partners and he's got decent experience. There has been a ton of hype around him, actually, before he entered the UFC, believe it or not, as well. So he is a well-rounded prospect. I like his footwork on the feet, even though he's more of a grinder and a kind of a wrestler background. On the feet, he utilizes his footwork and head movement really well. He stays active in that sense as well. Like he'll move and just kind of pick his spots and get aggressive on you at times as well. And he's got that speed and accuracy to go along with some power. So he's dangerous on the feet. He's no joke on the feet. And then he also has a nice wrestling game and takedown defense to go along with it. What impresses me too, he uses the Wizard really well and he scrambles back up to his feet well as well. So it's not going to be an easy fight for Ferguson here. Because Vannetta is capable of finishing people by KO or submissions as well. But, I mean, the bottom line in this fight is it's a tough matchup for him, especially taking on a guy like Ferguson in your UFC debut. Because arguably all the good stuff I just said about Vannetta, you could really say that Ferguson's better across the board at all of it. So that's why he's such a decent favorite coming into this fight, and he's supposed to win this fight. I do think the line is getting a little bit sick right now, to be honest with you, because Vannetta is better than what the line currently is indicating. But I do understand it, and I would be surprised if Ferguson loses this fight, honestly. So I am going to pick Ferguson. I just think that if you guys are betting his fights, be careful. I mean, is there true value at Ferguson right now, minus 705? I don't think there is. So it's one of those fights you maybe sit back and watch and really enjoy a quality win, which Ferguson is probably going to get. Right now, Ferguson probably rolls in this fight.
Yeah, this is just a terrible situation for Vanetta making his UFC debut. I mean, I would favor him against several fighters currently in the UFC lightweight division, but not against Tony Ferguson. Vanetta is solid with his grappling, solid offensive wrestling, packs some good pop in his right hand, has good ground and pound. He's pretty much the complete package. He's UFC ready. He's just not UFC title challenger ready. So under the bright lights of the octagon on short notice against a guy that has the longest winning streak in the UFC lightweight division right now, you just cannot favor Vanetta. Tony Ferguson is so good right now. He has really put it all together. He has a tremendous reach, which he does use with some good straight punches, some big power right hands, and he mixes it up. I mean, he is one of the more unorthodox fighters in the division. He has the most unique takedown defense I've ever seen, with where he just does a basically a somersault. If somebody grabs his leg and gets out of it, pops back to his feet. Nobody else is doing that, but it looks so cool when he does it. And he goes for unique submissions. He is constantly on the attack. And there is always the danger of him either connecting with a big power shot or getting a takedown and looking for a submission. He also backs that up defensively with a tremendous chin. I mean, the guy has only been hurt like maybe once or twice in his UFC career, and he responds quickly and then fires right back. So he has a lot of heart, great durability. He's pretty much the complete package right now, and I think he's going to be a threat in the title mix for whenever he finally does get his shot, because he definitely deserves one. So I like Lando Vanetta. I think he's going to have a long UFC career. I just think he's getting started on the wrong foot here, and I expect Tony Ferguson to win probably by decision, because I think Vanetta will be very tough to put away. I'm also a little concerned about Vanetta making weight, because he has missed the 155-pound limit in the past, and he's taken this one on short notice at 155. So that is something to keep an eye out for. Now moving on to the main event of the evening. We have a bantamweight contest between Michael McDonald, who is 17-3, and John Lineker, who is 27-7. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Lineker minus 150 to come back on McDonald plus 110. Right now it's Lineker minus 160. McDonald is plus 150. My, how times have changed, because not long ago, surely McDonald would have been the favorite over Lineker coming into this fight. It's kind of what have you done for me lately, though, and Lineker has looked like an absolute beast. I don't really think that a lot of people realize what kind of quality win his last fight against Font was for Lineker. Font is a very dangerous and capable opponent, and Lineker made him look foolish. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because I thought Font was actually going to pull off that win. Those of you guys that listen to the podcast obviously know that as well. So I was surprised how easily Lineker won. Not that he won. I mean, obviously I knew that Lineker had a shot to win that fight as well, but the dominant fashion that he won it in was really impressive against a guy that is what I think a very tough out. So got to give Lineker credit, man. I mean, because he was fighting at flyweight, moving up to 135. It looks like 135, the move was probably right, even though he is small kind of for the weight class. I mean, his cardio seems to be okay. It looks a little bit better. He was pushing a pretty high pace in his last fight as well. And, I mean, strength-wise, it's always there. And, man, the guy can knock anybody out with that pace that he pushes and, I mean, that power that he has and the accuracy and that just – that talk about killer instinct. A lot of things to like about Lineker. But McDonald is the better MMA fighter. I mean, he's going to be longer here. He's going to have a reach over Lineker. Obviously, McDonald in the past has won several fights by knockout. He's got, I mean, a tremendous amount of finishing ability on the feet as well. He's got that dominant power. He also has an amazing sub game. I mean, he's capable of finishing you on the feet or on the ground as well. So McDonald is not an easy out by any means. And I mean, that's why he kind of worked his way up the ladder and fought the likes of Brow and the guys that he did fight, because I mean, the guy was right there in title contention, right there at the top of the heap. And it's a shame that he kind of, you know, had that time off. He came back in his last fight and he looked awful. I know he got the W over Conhera, but man, did he look bad in that fight. So he kind of was fortunate to get out of there with a win. I'm not sure what's going on, McDonald. I mean, it's hard to trust the guy right now with, again, the time off and the way he looked coming back from that time off against Conhera. I'm going to pick Lineker because I do think that right now you could trust him a little bit more. I mean, if Lineker has success on the feet against McDonald, I'm not sure McDonald's going to be able to take those punches. And I don't know if McDonald's going to be able to get Lineker on the ground to sub him either. So it is tough, though. I'm not as confident as everybody else is coming in on this fight against Lineker, because I know the quality and skill set that McDonald has can win this fight for him. But will he win it against Lineker this weekend, or I should say on Wednesday? I don't know, man. I'm not that sure he will. So I'm going to pick Lineker again. But this is one spot that, honestly, a lot of people are betting Lineker in, and I would not. I mean, what if McDonald does show up and look a little bit better? I know we're basically – a lot of people are judging him on his last fight and judging Lineker how phenomenal he's looked. But I think you got to throw that out the window and just kind of look at what this fight is and how it should play out. And I can see it, all sorts of craziness happening in this fight. So there's no sure thing at all to happen here. I think I could see many different endings and outcomes here, but I'm going to pick Lineker for right now to get the job done, because he has, I mean, more recently he's looked better than the two. So I do think Lineker probably gets a job done here.
My biggest concern with Michael McDonald is the fact that he was out for a long period of time. And when he finally did come back, it was not a very good performance. I mean, he started slow. He could not pull the trigger on the feet. And he repeatedly got taken down by Masanori Kanahara, a guy that we know has good offensive wrestling, and he just had a lot of trouble with it. I mean, yeah, he pulled off the submission off of his back, but I was more concerned about how pathetic his stand-up striking looked there. He was very tentative, probably concerned about the takedown, as he rightfully should have been, but just could not get anything going. Now, against John Lineker, he does not have to worry about the takedown. The only time John Lineker is going to go to the ground with you is after he knocks you down, and then he's either going to try to put you away by knockout on the ground, or if there's an opening, he will go for a submission. You saw in the Francisco Rivera fight. But for the most part, John Lineker just wants to put the pressure on you, and he wants to land haymakers. He is the most aggressive, crazy fighter in the bantamweight division. And he's not afraid to push a high pace, to get in your face. He just wants to knock you out. And I was assuming, like, because of his poor performance in the Luis Godinho fight, that if he was in a situation where Lineker was standing and banging and slugging it out for a round or two, that he would gas. But he didn't do that in the Rob Font fight. He was facing somebody that had a reach advantage, somebody that was a solid technical striker, and he just made Font wilt repeatedly and forced him to fight very tentatively, because he just had so much power and he was constantly just pushing strikes in his face. So even though Michael McDonald has a ton of power, John Lineker has potentially the best chin of anybody 155 pounds and lower, in my opinion. So I'm not worried at all about Lineker eating shots. The only thing I'm worried about with Lineker is maybe he knocks McDonald down and gets caught with a triangle choke or something. But for the most part, he is just so aggressive. I don't see Michael McDonald landing anything significant, and I don't see Lineker slowing down. And even if he does, I think Michael McDonald will be worn out too. So it's a tough fight, but John Lineker has looked so good and so aggressive. I just cannot discount him anymore. I have picked against him too many times and been burned too many times. Maybe this time picking him, I will get burned, but I favor John Lineker. I think that this is a winnable fight for him. And with Michael McDonald, I think his chin is potentially a little bit questionable. I mean, Uriah Faber did drop him before submitting him. So I think Lineker can definitely drop him if Faber can. So my pick is going to be John Lineker. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC Fight Night 91. Now, we're just about to give out part two of our Premium Oddscast following today's weigh-ins. So stay tuned for that if you're an MMA Oddsbreaker Premium member. Now, if we have any free bets to give out, make sure to follow at MMAOBPremium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAoddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to our sponsor, Five Dime Sportsbook. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.